Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast ChristNet on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Critical race theory is not saying that America is racist because there were racist laws. It's saying that there were racist laws because America's racist. Racism is the soil of America.
If you don't have patriarchy, it doesn't mean that you escape the rule of men. You just have androarchy. That is, you have men who don't care about you at all.
We must remain steady in the word and in the strength that God provides us day by day. That is where the future for us lies, whatever comes.
What they're talking about is justification in two different realms. Paul is talking about justification before God. James is talking about justification before men.
This is the world headquarters for JSM in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and we love to listen to Issues Etc. while perking our favorite brew, Craig's Covenant Coffee.
Jesus warns in Matthew 24, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. If any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise many false Christs and false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. What does that warning mean? What is Jesus talking about, false Christs? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us for the next episode to discuss what Jesus meant when he warned about false Christs is Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
What's the typical reaction you get when you discuss false Christs?
Mostly I get ignored. Those who respond, generally, they play the Pharisee card. They'll say that you know that you're a Pharisee, right? And that it was the Pharisees who cared about sound doctrine. You just have head knowledge, not heart knowledge, and you need to repent and have childlike faith and stop being a Pharisee. That's generally the type of responses I get.
There's no doubt about it that Jesus assures us and warns us that these false Christs will arise. Is it only an end times concern for the church?
No, let me rephrase it. The answer is yes, but the thing is, the last times began with Christ's ascension. How's that for an answer? This has always been a problem within the church, and it's important that we recognize Jesus' warning in the passage you just read out from Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. There's a second passage that where Jesus says the same thing in Mark chapter 13, that oftentimes people read that text and they believe that Jesus is merely warning about people who are claiming to be Jesus. And so, you know, that when he said there are false Christs arising, people are assuming that that's referring only to people claiming to be Jesus in the flesh or here on earth. But the word pseudo-Christoi, the primary word there, Christos is an anointed one. In fact, it's a phrase that is used going long before Jesus' appearance on the scene, back as early as the Septuagint. For instance, in Psalm chapter 2, we're familiar with this text. It says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth, they set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed one. And the Hebrew word for anointed there is Mashiach. And in the Septuagint translation, the Greek translation of the Old Testament text, it says his Christ and his Christos. And so the idea then is that when you look at kind of a broader understanding of the word Christos, yes, it can mean the Messiah, specifically talking about the Christ, the one who is to come. But a pseudo-Christos is one who is claiming a special anointing for themselves. And within the NAR and the charismatic movement, now they've got anointings for practically everything. If you were to like go to Patricia King's channel on YouTube and just type in anointing in the search bar, you will find that she has teachings on the Watchman anointing, the Seer anointing, the Hannah anointing, and you've got all of these other anointings. We're going to hear about the Ox anointing today also, and which has something to do with the claims regarding so-called apostolic anointing. So when anyone is claiming today that they have a special anointing or come up and you can receive an activation on an anointing, that by definition then the word Christos comes into play. That now the question is this person a true anointed one or a false anointed one? Are they a true Christ or a false Christ? That's really what's going on here.
So I take it that these claims of false anointing or these claims of anointing, divine anointing, are not difficult to find nowadays.
No, they're just as rampant as the sand on the seashore. You know, they've got anointings for just about anything that ails you. And it's become so commonplace within the charismatic and NAR movement. It's just part of the furniture that nobody even questions it anymore. You know, why are they talking about all these anointings? Which is one of the reasons why we're doing this today, is because, you know, we need to take a fuller look at what Christ is warning, that in the last times there would be false anointed ones, false Christs. And this now is an example of somebody claiming an anointing. That's Patricia King that we're going to listen to.
Who is she?
Patricia King is the head of XP Media, which is kind of a major clearinghouse of false prophets and teachers within the New Apostolic Reformation. She really got her start at the so-called Toronto Blessing. She traveled to Toronto, claimed that she had a special encounter with God, the Holy Spirit, in Toronto, which then led to her forming XP Media. And she's been a staple, somebody that we've been covering on Fighting for the Faith since the very first year of that we started that podcast. And somebody I've been critiquing biblically, even before we started doing Fighting for the Faith, going back to my blogging years. She is somebody I consider to be just like obviously a teller of tall tales and a trafficker in false teaching and false doctrine.
What should we be listening for first from Patricia King?
So first soundbite, we're going to have her talk about, she's going to talk about the so-called ox anointing, and then dive into a twisting of scripture talking about the need for, in our present day and age, the restoration of apostles.
Today, I have a message on the ox anointing. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Ephesians 4. And it says in verse 11, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And so we see here that the fivefold ministry gifts, as listed here, are not only to equip the saints for the work of kingdom ministry, but it's to enable us, all of that together is to enable us to come into the full measure of the stature of Christ. In other words, that we'll look like him, we'll talk like him, we'll walk like him, we'll be like him. So that is the purpose, primarily, of the fivefold ministry gifts, is to equip us for the ministry so that everyone can come into the fullness of all that Christ is. So I want to talk specifically today about the apostolic anointing. And I know the word apostolic and the word apostle is a very big subject these days, and it's actually very controversial. And in church history, we have not actually had, since the book of Acts, we have not actually had in the church the apostles and the prophets holding their office like we have in this this hour. God has restored these ministry gifts to the church. And this is the time when the apostolic ministry is being restored to the church, most definitely. And it is an office so that the whole body can become apostolic. Apostolic means sent one or the first one in, the ones that go before and build the structures. And so they are servants. They are ones that prepare the way. And we see through the Apostle Paul's writing, as he explains a lot about this apostolic ministry, that the apostolic ministry, true apostolic ministry, is a servant. It's not like this big celebrity title or anything like that. It's actually a servant.
So, Chris, this is really the foundation of the New Apostolic Reformation. You mentioned there, NAR, here, that somehow, and I don't know where they get this from Scripture, these New Testament offices are being restored to the church.
Right. So Patricia King is one of these people that I consider her to be at least honest, because she is openly admitting that she's a, we'll use the right phrase, a restorationist. When I critique people in the NAR and the charismatic movement, oftentimes people will say, oh, you're just a cessationist. And I always like to point them to videos like this of Patricia King's, because Patricia King also is a cessationist. She believes that the office of apostle and prophet, that they sat vacant, that they ceased, you know, sometime shortly after the book of Acts, until super recently, within the last 20 years or so. And so she is a cessationist who now believes that the apostles and prophets have been restored to the church. And their basic argument goes from Ephesians 4, that God has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith. And so they'll say, we haven't yet attained that, because that unity of the faith comes at the return of Christ. So they say, ergo, we need apostles and prophets now. But and then Patricia King, you just ask the question, well, if the body of Christ has needed them in order for us to attain this unity, why did they disappear? Why were they gone for nearly 2,000 years? And they don't really have a satisfactory answer to that. Now, people in the NAR who are dishonest, what they like to say is that, oh, we've always had apostles and prophets. They just went under different names. And so one of the weirder ones that I've heard recently, a major person in the NAR claims that Martin Luther was actually an apostle. And he just didn't know it, and he never used the title for himself, but that he was truly an apostle in the real sense. And so they point to men like Martin Luther, John Wesley, and people like that, and they'll say they were actually apostles, we just didn't know it.
So the claim here is that the Ephesians passage, in which I should note, Paul uses the definite article in each case, with the exception of the word teachers, I believe. He says the apostles, not just some or apostles in a general sense or even an office. He's referring to particular apostles, isn't he?
And particular prophets. And I would note that that in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll note that three of the rules that I like to go for in rightly understanding Scripture are, I call it, you know, context, context, context. I remember getting that from the late Walter Martin, the Bible Answer Man. That was one of his things that he kept pointing to, and I've revived that in the work that I'm doing. But the idea then is that when we go back into the fuller context, you'll note that Ephesians isn't really that long of a book. It's a letter. That early on in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes these words. He says, through Christ, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. You are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are members of the household of God, which is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And so here we have the definite article, that the church itself, the household of God, is built on the apostles and prophets. And so you have the definite article that's distributed, and Christ himself is the cornerstone. So the idea then is that we recognize that the church has always had apostles and prophets, and they are still doing their work today. For instance, the prophets that I would point to as very notable and still active in working in the church today would be like Moses or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Amos or Zephaniah. They are still active and they are still teaching the word today, teaching us through the written word, and so are the apostles. The apostles are still discipling the entire nations of the world as Christ has commanded them to do. How? Through the written word. Peter's work in the New Testament is doing that. Paul's work in the New Testament is doing that. Matthew and John and James. So the idea then is that we've always had apostles, and in the creed we confess that we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. The church has always understood that it's apostolic, not that it has ongoing apostles, because the office of apostle ceased with the death of the last apostle, the apostle John. Nobody filled that office. And you'll note that nowhere in scripture are the qualifications for ongoing filling of the office of apostle given. But instead, in Acts chapter 1, we see that one of the qualifications to be an apostle is that you have to have been with Christ and that you're an eyewitness of the resurrection. These are vital qualifications. Nobody fills that. But the apostles are still doing their work today in the written word of God, the living, active, Theonoustos, God-breathed, inspired, inerrant word of God. They are still teaching us. So we still have apostles and prophets, and the church is built on their words, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone.
What's next from King?
So now that she's kind of laid the groundwork talking about how that God is restoring apostles today, apparently, and she said she was going to talk about the ox anointing, now she's going to go on about a specific vision that she had, and we're going to pay attention to how she uses scripture. She references it to try to make it apply to this vision that she had.
And I want to share with you an experience I had years ago when we were doing a event. It was in 1999. We were doing an event called Apostolic Oil. And in preparation for this event, I went into the church ahead of time to pray with some other intercessors. And during that prayer time, I felt the Spirit of God come on me. And all of a sudden, I fell down on my knees and onto the floor with my hands in front of me. So in other words, I was on all fours sort of thing. And I started feeling in my body like I was no longer a human. I felt like I was me, but I was an ox. Instead of a human, I was an ox. Now, in the Bible, in Revelation 4 and 5, we see a picture of what John saw when he went up into heaven. One of the things he saw were creatures, four living creatures. One had the face of a man, another the lion, another the eagle, but then there was the ox, the face of the ox. These are the four presentations of Jesus. I believe that the ox, known as the servant, is actually a type, what we see is the symbol of the apostolic anointing. And what happened to me that day is as I fell down on the ground and I started feeling like an ox, I felt compelled to start walking. And I was in a church building, but I was inside of a vision. Even though I was in the church building, I didn't sense the building. I sensed that I was in a field, because I was in like this encounter, and I was an ox walking through the field, and I could feel that I was pulling a plow, and that the ground I was plowing through was very, very hard. I could feel the resistance of it as I was pulling the plow through, and the ground was very hard. It was hard to pull it. And I knew, though, I had this knowing that I was to till up the field so that seed could be planted. And I knew that my master needed it done.
What's she saying there, Chris?
Okay, so she's claiming in this vision that she was an ox. And what's really interesting about this is, number one, she justifies what she's doing here by alluding to a portion of scripture that is an apocalyptic text where it is describing in heaven, kind of a vision of the creatures that surround the throne of God, one of them being a creature that resembles an ox. And so that somehow is a type in shadow that points to this vision that she's had and has something to do with apostolic oil. Again, we're noting that the main theme here is that she's claiming that this is a specific anointing that she has received, the ox anointing. And in describing this, she went from being a human to being a beast. And I would note, and this is an important bit, is in Scripture, we have no example of this other than when God is judging somebody. In Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, because of his pride and his idolatry and his glorification of himself, he was humbled by God, and for a time, a period of seven times, we don't know what the seven was, the mind of a man was taken from him, and he was given the mind of a beast, and he ate grass like an ox, and his hair grew long like feathers, and his fingernails like talons, and that was a judgment against him. And so here Patricia King, in classic Patricia King style, is telling what I would consider a whopper, a tall tale, claiming that she has this vision. There's no way to verify whether she had this vision or not, but this runs completely against the grain of Scripture in the details that are given. But more importantly, in the telling of this, she is claiming to have been the recipient of, very specifically, the ox anointing, which is something to do with the restoration of apostles.
And real quickly, that, as you said earlier in our conversation, by definition, claiming a divine anointing other than anything described in Scripture, such as baptism as an anointing, a divine anointing with the Holy Spirit, this makes her a false Christ.
Yes, absolutely. She is now in the category of those whom Christ has warned us about. She is a pseudo-Christos, absolutely, because she's claiming to have a specific, special anointing from God, apart from, like you noted, that baptism is referred to as anointing, and our receiving of the Holy Spirit in baptism, John in 1 John describes it as an anointing. That's a common anointing for all Christians. She's claiming a special apostolic anointing via this direct revelation that she had of being turned into an ox.
We're discussing what Jesus meant when he warned about false Christ with Pastor Chris Rosebrough. After the break, we'll hear more from Patricia King's vision of the ox anointing.
There are competing stories, competing futures, and so we have competing hopes.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
There are the hopes that the world offers, which are uncertain and which are limited to this life only and which offer no meaning in the midst of suffering. And then there is, on the other hand, a Christian hope which is sure and which has an extended horizon. It pushes past even your death and the grave, and it upholds us in the midst of suffering. There's a difference between the way the world hopes and the way the church hopes.
For a tax-deductible donation of $300, you can watch an on-demand video stream of this year's conference, including Pastor Wolfmiller's teaching, Making the Case for Christian Hope. Find out more at IssuesETC.org or make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move on in Mark with first healings throughout all Galilee, if you will, your sins are forgiven, and the physician. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. Today, what Jesus meant when he warned us about false Christs. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can watch an on-demand video stream of the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It contains presentations by Dr. Robert George, Pastor Will Whedon, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Jack Phillips, and Dr. Larry Rast. We'll send you a video link for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. Find out more at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Chris, what is next from alleged apostle Patricia King?
So what's coming next is the remainder of this vision. And we're going to note that this ox anointing will have like its culmination in what she claims is Christ declaring her to be an apostle in the truest sense.
So there I was on the floor, feeling like an ox, pulling this plow through the field and the really tough soil. And then I heard audible voices start laughing at me and mocking me. And they were saying things like, oh, look at that dirty old ox. Oh, look at that dirty old thing. You know, and then I could feel it kick me, and I could feel the hit of the kick. I literally felt the hit of it in my side. And they were mocking me, saying, oh yeah, that old stupid old ox. And I remember thinking, of course I'm dirty, I'm dusty, because I'm working in the field for my master. And, you know, I have to be kind of like the shape I am to be able to pull this plow. And I was trying to think, why don't they understand who I am? Why don't they understand that I've kind of got to be big and a bit awkward because of what I'm called to do? And you know, and I am dusty because I'm out in the field. And, you know, I was trying to reconcile with myself what was going on, but they just kept, you know, mocking and kicking and, you know, persecuting, actually. But I knew that I had to keep my focus, that I couldn't be concerned about what they were saying. I had to just keep plowing this ground, and I could feel it get harder and harder and harder, you know, and the mocking got more and the kicking got more. And then I was going through the field, and I got to a point where I felt I couldn't go on anymore. I thought, I feel tired, and I don't know if I can make it. And I was discouraged, you know, and the weight of the plow seemed heavier than ever. And the resistance from the soil itself felt stronger than ever. And I thought, I don't know if I can make it. But I knew that my master needed me to finish the course. And then I looked up, and there I could see in front of me the cross. And I knew that it was my destination. I looked at it and I thought, that's what oxes belong there, you know? And I thought, if I could just make it a little bit further, I would go to my destination. And so I pulled, and I thought, for the sake of the master, I'm going to pull. And I finally made it to the cross, and my head hit the cross, and I fell down, and I just began to weep. When I came out of that vision, the Lord said, behold the apostle.
What's going on there? What is she actually claiming?
So the phrase ox anointing is a code word and a claim that she has received an apostolic anointing, and that Jesus himself back in 1999 declared Patricia King to be an apostle. So she is part of the restoration of apostles on the earth, which have been missing since the death of the apostle John, and that Christ himself has anointed her for the office of apostle, and it was the ox anointing vision that she described in all of its bizarreness that is her proof that she has put forward that she has received the anointing of an apostle.
What kind of claims would she then, you're very familiar with NAR and she's one of them, what kind of claims would she make then based upon this anointing that she says she has? Can she do signs? Can she do wonders? Can she heal the sick? I'm thinking about the classic actions of Peter and Paul and the other apostles.
Yes, in her particular case, she does claim to be able to operate in signs and wonders and healing. And even further than that, she, by claiming to have an apostolic anointing, she's claiming an authority for the church, because in the NAR parlance, somebody who is an apostle is one who is given by Christ strategies that they are then to share with the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ can align their efforts and the work that they are doing to accomplish the strategies necessary for the church to conquer the seven mountains, to do the work that is required so that Christ can return. They do claim that it's up to the bride to make herself pure in order for Jesus to be able to return. And so there's kind of a post-millennial slant to what they're doing. And she is claiming that she is, in fact, an actual apostle, and that the church needs to look to her for guidance and insight as to what we're supposed to be doing.
So how does her claim compare with, say, Paul, who had his apostleship questioned and challenged?
Yes.
His claim to apostleship, how is it different from hers?
So in the Apostle Paul's claim, you'll note that Paul had an actual encounter with the risen Christ, and Paul humbled himself and presented himself to the apostles of Jesus. We learn this in the book of Galatians, that he went and laid out before them the gospel that he was given, and they extended to him the right hand of fellowship and said, yes, you are truly chosen by Christ to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And so you'll note that the Apostle Paul, his apostolic calling was confirmed by those who were with Christ and who were normatively apostles by virtue of the fact that they were with Christ from the time of his baptism, they were there for all of his teaching, and that they were eyewitnesses of his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. The Apostle Paul even notes in his epistles that he was an apostle abnormally born, but he was what he was by the grace of Christ. And then you'll note in 2 Peter that Peter acknowledges that the letters written by Paul are in fact scripture. So in Paul's case, one could say, one can make the case that maybe his apostolic credentials aren't all in order, but the fact that the other apostles recognize him as an apostle and Peter himself recognizes Paul's writings as scripture speak very well to the fact that Paul is in fact an apostle sent by Christ himself.
And what are we going to hear finally here from Patricia King?
So now is going to kind of be a little bit more of the payoff and her directly talking now about apostolic oil and the anointing that she has received.
When I came out of it, I knew inside that that was true apostolic oil, the anointing of the ox, the face of the ox. And I started thinking about what Jesus did for us, because he is the high priest of our confession. He is the apostle, the cornerstone. He is the chief apostle of our faith, and what he had to go through to pave the way for us. And I realized that the ox that I'd become, or that he allowed me to feel, was the chief apostle himself, what he went through, his journey to the cross. And he did it for us. He did it to fulfill the Father's will. The Apostle Paul went through similar things. And these are our models for the true apostolic. We've been hearing a lot about the apostolic. It's kind of a buzzword. Some people have accepted the apostolic function, and some people are confused about it, and others have rejected it. But God will continue to hone this gift, to polish this gift, to plant this gift until it is matured within the body. And I want us as a ministry, I know our whole team at XP and all of our staff and all of our partners, our web church members, all of us are embracing the apostolic, because God is speaking. It's a new wineskin in this hour. And the whole church is to be apostolic, not that everyone's called to be an apostle. That's an office. And you will function in the apostolic oil before even people, you know, credit you with it.
Okay, Chris, take that apart for us.
So, again, you'll note she's talking about the apostolic oil. That's kind of the which is, again, the claim is that this is an anointing. She has received an apostolic anointing, which I've already argued puts her in the category of a false Christ, because a Christos is an anointed one. But I want to point something out which is a little bit nuanced, but one worth making the connection to. And that is that she was claiming that Jesus is our chief apostle, which is weird language when you consider it. Jesus is our ascended God king. You know, he is the God man. He is the son of David. He is the son of God, and he is the Christ, the Messiah. But for her to talk about Jesus as kind of the chief apostles, I'm going to make a connection that seems odd. I have only ever seen claims like this in Gnosticism, in the teachings of Gnosticism as embodied within Freemasonry. Freemasonry in the higher degrees refers to Jesus not as God in human flesh. In fact, they deny this. They refer to him as the apostle of mankind. And so it's very weird, very strange for her to talk of Christ as being an apostle, apostolic in that particular sense. And that is language I've only heard in Gnosticism. So we've got some major problems here. She is definitely in the category of one of those who Christ has warned us about. She's not merely a false apostle. She is truly a false Christ, a false anointed one. And all this talk of apostolic oil and of her taking, you know, being transformed in vision into an ox, none of this is from Jesus. It takes our eyes off of Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who is our great God and King, and the one who's risen victoriously from the grave, ascended into heaven, King of kings and Lord of lords, and disciple according to the things that he has commanded. Instead, now we're off into bizarro world and chasing after false signs, visions, wonders. And always the question then is, now, is orthodoxy based upon whether or not I accept Patricia King and others like her to be apostles? Is Jesus going to judge me for denying that they are these things? Yeah, this opens up a whole can of worms. And the reality is that this is exactly what Jesus said would happen and who to look out for and to avoid.
So in a nutshell here, Patricia King is in essence one of those who Jesus said, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or lo, there he is. She's pointing to herself and saying, I am an anointed one.
Yeah. Yeah. She fulfills that. She fulfills an aspect of it. So when Jesus says, behold, you know, look out when somebody claims these things, he's not merely talking about somebody claiming to be the Messiah, but ones claiming to have special spiritual anointings. These are pseudo Christoi. That's what Christos means, an anointed one. And they're claiming special insights, special callings, and that she's a special general and leader, an anointed leader within the body of Christ, called by Jesus for this hour for the purpose of leading us into the great future that Christ has for the church. That's what she's claiming for herself with this coded language.
Jesus says, don't go out to them and don't believe it.
Right. Anyone talking like this, Jesus basically says on its face, you know that anybody talking like this is false. Avoid them altogether.
Pastor Chris Rose Bro is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He is creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.